The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
You know what I think is so neat is we don't try and match up the songs with the sermon. I don't call ahead to Brother Palmore that's over our music program and say, by the way, next week I am preaching on, and so could you please have somebody to sing a song that would go along with the message? We never do that. We're not really that organized, to be honest with you. But isn't it neat how the Holy Spirit of God lines things up? Isn't that neat? I mean, I did not know she's going to be singing a song like that that would go right along with the message, but that is the sweetness of the Lord in doing that. Now, take your Bible, though, and let's look at some. Let me give you another verse, and we're going to look at many verses here, as we often do in the lieu of the message. But I want you to see this one. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. I jotted this one down as she was singing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." You're going to see that in just a moment. But the Bible says, "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, how does that relate to you? How does that relate to me? Well, I didn't get saved. I didn't receive Christ as my Savior, and that's what I mean by being saved. I did not receive Christ as my Savior until I was 18 years of age. Now, I lived a life. I wasn't born at age 18. I had a whole life before me, before I received Jesus Christ as Savior. And I was almost heading into, away from the teen years to heading into what we would consider full adult years, where you get out of the teens and head into your 20s. And so I had lived a pretty robust life prior to salvation. And so I can look back in history past, and I can remember what I was like at the age of 17 and a half. I can remember what I was like at the age of 17. I can remember what I was like at the age of 16, 15, 14, 13, and on down as far as I can go until my memory does not serve me well at that particular age. But I remember what it was like prior to salvation. So I remember what it was like not being saved. I remember what it was like not being a believer in Jesus Christ. I remember what it was like not knowing for sure that if I were to take my last breath on earth, that my next breath would be in heaven. I remember laying on my bed at night with such uncertainty, with such voidness, with such emptiness, and also with a great degree of searching, because I was a very much person that was filled with void and a lack of understanding of Jesus Christ. Now, I was religious, but lost. I had all the formalities of religion down, attending church on Saturday nights, attending church on Sunday mornings. I had all the religious formulas down pat. I knew what to do when, how to do where. I had it all down pat, but it was without Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to look at seven scenes that's given here, and I'm not going to take 3 hours to do it. I'm going to take 30 minutes to do it. And so we're going to move pretty rapidly through these seven scenes. But I want us to look at seven scenes of the cross and understand that still today, for those that hear the preaching of the cross, to them that do not believe, to them that do not have a conscious awareness of who Jesus Christ really is, to them who have rejected the Son of God, and yes, that which is God themselves, do we understand that that person, when they hear the preaching of the cross, to them it is utter foolishness. But unto us that was once not saved, to those of us that are presently and forever will be saved because of our trust in Jesus Christ, to us it certainly is a demonstration of the power of God. Now, let me give you just a couple of things to think about, okay? As we're approaching Golgotha, as we're heading up, if you will, the side hill of Golgotha, we begin to understand some things as we look upon the cross. First thing that we'll understand, first thing that we'll see, the first thing that will grab your attention as you're heading up the hill of Golgotha would simply be this: it is the lamb slain. You know, John the Baptist saw him coming over the riverbank Over in John chapter 1 and verse 29, the Bible says, and the next day John seeth him, says, coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, it says, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so when John the Baptist saw him coming over the river bank, he looked up and he saw him, and he voiced it, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There is no other Lamb like this Lamb. There is no other Lamb that can wash away the sins of all humanity. There is no other one other than He that could do that. May I remind you, please, over in the book of Exodus chapter 12, you'll see another lamb. And of course, Moses had instructed that the male lamb of the first year without blemish be taken, and that his blood would be that which was put on the door mantles and the doorpost, so that during the time of the death angel would pass over, the death angel would pass over that particular household. Now why? Because it is the Lamb of God, if you would, that draws the attention of God Himself. Can I tell you, when we talk about the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the blood of the Lamb, and the Lamb's blood is all that saves. The Lamb's blood, the Lord Jesus' blood, is all that cleanses, is all that redeems, is all that washes away our sin. That song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Only the blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse deep within. Only the blood of Jesus. Now, you ought to thank God this morning for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to thank God that you're not in church today where a church is trying to teach you a false doctrine. I said a false doctrine to teach you. You have to be good in order to go to church. You have to be baptized in order to go to church. You have to keep one of the Ten Commandments in order to be able to go to church. You have to keep sacred the sacraments of the seven sacraments in order to go to church. No, no, no. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 in the Old Testament, you'll find out there was a prophecy there that was foretelling of that which is the crucifixion of Christ. You'll find out in that particular chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, that 50 times the words He and Him are mentioned. In verse 3, the Bible says that He is despised. In verse 4, it says that He bore, it says, our griefs. In verse 5, it says He was wounded. In verse 5, it says He was bruised. In verse 5, it says that His stripes, His stripes we were healed. In verse 5, it says, laid on Him the iniquity, it says, of us all. In verse 7, it says He was oppressed. And do you understand that this is pointing to that which is the Lamb of God? He was the one that bore our sin. He was the one that took the sin of all humanity upon Him, whereby you and I could have forgiveness of sin through that which is the slain Lamb. He's the deliverer. He is the one that covered us with His own blood. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 1, the Bible says, for it is the blood that maketh atonement, it says, for the soul. In the book of John chapter 12 and verse 32, the Bible says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, it says, will draw all men unto Himself, or unto me. And so Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. So as I'm approaching Golgotha, as I'm going to the place of the skull, one of the things that's going to get my attention, yea, the very first thing, and the biggest attraction that will draw my focal attention is going to be Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, can I tell you, thank God for the Lamb. He is that which is the Lamb that was slain. Step number one. But you'll notice something else there around the cross. You'll see that there is the lost surrendering. The lost surrendering. Now watch this, if you will. The book of Luke chapter 23 and verse 42, the Bible says this, and He said unto Jesus, He says, Lord, remember me when Thou comest unto Thy kingdom. So here it is, one of these thieves that is on the side of Christ. And He said, now, Lord, He said, you remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. He said, don't forget me. Now, that is a lost person surrendering. That is a person saying, look, I know who you are, and I want to go with you where you're going. Now, I don't know about you, But I would rather choose Jesus Christ as my Savior, who is risen from the dead, than somebody who has died, whose bones are still in the grave. Understand that the Bible talks about this one that was this repenting thief. What does it mean to repent? He changed his belief. He changed it from the belief of being good, of being baptized, of going to church, of turning over a new leaf every January 1. He turned his belief to that which was believing in Jesus Christ. He put his heart, his belief into Christ. Now, by the way, this repentant thief, that represents the outcast, represents the alcoholic. You say alcoholics get saved? Yes. Amen. Represents that person's having a drug addiction. Represents the person that's the drug peddler. Represents the person that's the rapist. Represents the person that's the murderer. Represents the person that is in the deepest sin that you could say is the deepest sin exteriorly, that you would see them and say that is a sinner. Can I tell you, that's who this thief represents. See, Jesus Christ is willing to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And don't you ever get to the point and place in your life where you think you're too good. Don't ever get to the point where you think you're better than somebody else. Right. Well, you know, preacher, I tell you what, you know, we're in church today, and look at all these guys and gals, and you know, they've got all these suits on, and they're all buttoned up, and they, don't let that fool you, because every single person in here, whether they got a tie, whether they don't have a tie, whether they got a suit, whether they don't have a suit, whether they got shine shoes or unshine shoes, it's only because of the good grace of God that we sit here today, and we can thank God, and may I say that it's all equal at the cross of Jesus Christ. Statement number one, do you see that there's the lamb slain? Statement number two, do you see that there's the lost surrendering? Hey, there was somebody else at the foot of the cross. He was the soldier, the believing soldier. In verse 43 of Luke chapter 23, here's what you see. The Bible says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, as Jesus is speaking back to that one that is the thief. But yet, as he is being looked upon in verse 47, the Bible talks about that there was a centurion there, and the Bible says that this man glorified God, and he said that this is a righteous man. Now, wait a minute. Here's a person that would be like a businessman. You mean the same God that saves the sinner that exteriorly looks like a big, bad sinner will save the businessman that exteriorly looks like he's got all of his act together? Yes, and they both need Jesus Christ. Amen. See, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. I've seen people get saved at church and they carry a 10-pound Bible. They come in the front of the church door and they got their big 10-pound Bible and they got their big goober Christian smile. They walk around, they got the Christian walk. You know, and they're walking around and they got the Christian talk. They say, amen, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They say, boy, God has answered prayer. But I've seen people like that that get saved. Hey, I've seen deacons get saved. It's a good day when a deacon gets saved. I've seen Sunday school teachers get saved. Hey, I got one better than that. I've seen preachers get saved. See, it's not, you say, well, I'll tell you what, everybody in this church, they must be saved because they look saved. Hey, don't let that fool you, friend. A person can look like they're saved and be religiously lost. A person can sing in the choir and still be lost. Be a Sunday school teacher, still be lost. Just because they act like they're saved doesn't mean they're saved. They can put on the religious garb. What makes a person saved is not how they are on the outside. What makes a person saved is if they have truly received Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is the only thing that makes a person saved. I'm saying this, I'm saying that there's the lamb slain. That's what you'll see there at Golgotha, at the cross. I'm saying that you'll see the lost surrendering. You'll see that here's a man, a soldier, if you will, would represent the business clientele, would represent a man well-respected, would represent a man that had good character, would represent a man that had duties that he fulfilled, would probably be somebody that you look at and would be somebody that would represent a good citizen, but still without Christ. Now, what does it take? It takes a person coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And He'll be the one that will help you. Doesn't matter if you're a failure in your own eyes. Doesn't matter if you're on an ego trip or you just tripped over your ego. It doesn't matter this morning if you're a man of pride or you're a man that has nothing to be proud of. Jesus Christ can save. Statement number one, you see the lamb slayed. Statement number two, you see the lost surrendering. Statement number three, you see a lasting sacrifice. You know, the high priest would go in once a year and he would make a sacrifice, if you would please, and he would do it according to the occasion that was needed. Where Jesus Christ gave one sacrifice forever. Here's what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, the Bible says this. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Once offered. Once offered. So He did that to bear our sins. He did that to bear the sins of humanity. Once offered. See, now when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do we understand this? Do we understand that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life? Amen. Well, you know, your Bible doesn't say have everlasting life if he never sinneth. I would ask you to confess your sins this morning, but we might be quite embarrassed. But I would say if you have sinned this morning, would you please raise your hand? Now, don't do that. Would you please raise your hand? Did you know, I think almost everybody in this room would probably say, yes, this morning, already, I have sinned. You know why? Because that's what sinners do. A dog doesn't meow, a dog barks. Hello. A horse doesn't croak, a frog does. And some people, when they get older, they croak too. But can I tell you, listen, I'm saying this. I'm saying that it's the nature of the person. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I thought if I got saved, I would never sin. Matter of fact, I don't think I've ever sinned after I got saved. Let me ask your wife. Because we all have sin. But can I tell you, Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin positionally, so that when you receive Jesus Christ positionally, you are set for heaven. Now, practically, when you sin, what do you do in order to be right with God? As long as we hide iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. And positionally, your child was born into your family. That will never change. Your child will always be your son. Your child will always be your daughter. Positionally, that never changes. But practically, it may change in its fellowship. Practically, when they sin against you, you have to discipline them, and the fellowship diminishes, or in some cases, disappears. Now, it doesn't change the position that's your son or that's your daughter. See, once they're born into your family, they're always a part of your family. Once I'm born again, I'm always a child of God. But positionally, some things might change. Brother Butler, stand up if you will, and I appreciate Brother Butler so much. I called him, I don't know, it was about 11 o'clock last night or so, and I said, can you do me a favor? We love the Fenton family. Can you please run to the hospital for me? And he took off, no questions asked, went down to the hospital, stayed there with that dear family till 2:30 in the morning, and that's how come I got him to the stand, because he started to snore as he fell asleep a moment ago. But now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. If this is my dad, and I do something to sin against my dad is still my dad. Amen. My dad still loves me. My dad will still try to encourage me. My dad would try to still inspire me to do that. He's still my dad. I don't lose that. But what happens is when I sin against my dad, it breaks fellowship. We don't have that good communion like we should. Now, I'm still his son. I may be a disappointing son, but I'm still his son. See, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. You must be born again. It is not in the perpetual state of being where it would say you must be born again and again and again and again. And it's not a perpetual state of being. It's not over and it's not forever present. It is this. It is the fact that once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, it is done. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that word call is in the punctiliar tense. That means one time forevermore. Just like when I get on the telephone and I call you up and you answer your cell phone, connection is complete. It's done. I don't have to call you up over and over and over again. Hey, when you call upon Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you, friend, it is done. You don't have to do it over and over and over again. It's complete. It's done. Once you're saved forever. Now, can I tell you, dear beloved friend, if you're saved, act like it. Put on Christ. Let people see that you're saved. Instead of when you hit your thumb with a hammer and you meant to hit the other nail, but it wound up on your personal nail, instead of uttering out words that should not be spoken out of the Christian's mouth, utter something else out. Say something different. But stay away from those words that ought not to. You say, well, that's hard, preacher. I've always said those bad words. Okay, so straighten up. You have to work on it. I have to work on stuff. We all have to work on stuff. So you work on the things that you need to work on. And what is that? That is mortifying the flesh. That is putting the flesh to death. Some of us, thank you. Some of us need to work on having a short temper. Some need to work on lying. Some need to work on not cheating. Some need to work on being somebody that's impatient. Some need to work on maybe forgiveness, or some need to work on loving more. Some need to work on having different parts of things that you know that is becoming the Christian. And the Christian life is work. Now that you're saved, work out your salvation. Let other people see it. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if you're walking into the post office and you're singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, instead of some boom, 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 boom. I learned that from Brother Palmer last week. But wouldn't that be nice? I'm saying this. I'm saying that the lamb slain. I'm saying the lost surrendering. I'm saying a lasting sacrifice. That high priest would go into that which is the tabernacle, and he would lay down the sacrifice for that occasion. But Jesus Christ went in and one time laid it down forevermore. I'm saying a lasting sacrifice. Statement number three. Statement number four, a lingering soul. I'm going to hasten through these others where I finish on time. But in Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 49, you'll see the lingering soul. These were people standing around the cross that were just lingering. They weren't making any decision for Jesus Christ. Now, how many times do we see that? I have a men's soul winning team. And I appreciate all the men, and several are in here this morning. Others are holding down responsibilities in other places on property. I have a men's soul winning team. And yesterday, I sometimes get caught this way, but I was what you call the fifth wheel. In other words, I had four men that came out soul winning, and I was the fifth guy. And so, you know, you don't want to go knocking doors with three men standing at the door. It's kind of overbearing, you know? And so I told the guys, I said, I tell you what, why don't you two go together? Why don't you two go together? And I'll be the Lone Ranger, and I'll knock this street here, and you guys knock this street here, and fellowship together and enjoy that, and I'll just go by myself. So I was walking down the street, and I was knocking doors and talking to people about the Lord Jesus, and all of a sudden the Baldivises drive up, and Brother Baldivis is behind the steering wheel, and they drive up, and Brother Baldivis says, "Hey, are you going by yourself?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Oh," he said, and of course they was talking about some other stuff, and he said, "Why don't I go with you?" And so he jumped out of the car, and then Bonnie and Mrs. Baldivis, mother and daughter, went together, and Brother Baldivis got out of the car, and he came over, and he started going with me. And did you know there was just good fellowship as we were walking down, and we were going door knocking, but we talked to several people, and several people said, well, not now. Not now. Now, I did get an opportunity to lead three people to Christ. Amen. And he got an opportunity to lead three people to Christ. Amen. And we were both excited that we each had opportunity to lead three people to Christ. But can I tell you, there were some people out there that we talked to that said, not now. Lingering. lingering. Can I tell you, there's people out there that Lord Jesus Christ can save today. Today. They will linger. Can I remind you, the Bible says that life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then it vanisheth away. Can I remind you, the Bible says, boast not thyself of today, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So you don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. The Bible says in 1 Samuel that death is only a step. It says, but a step away. So you don't know when you're going to take your last breath. You have no idea. We had a dear missionary friend that was out, and there's so many different stories about it. I'm not really sure, you know, because I'm hearing so many different sides of this, but he drowned yesterday or the night prior in trying to rescue a or more than one person in a swimming accident, and he drowned, leaving precious children behind, precious wife behind. Now, all that being as sad as it is, can I tell you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, a preacher, you know, I just got saved. What's the advantage of that? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, and you die, you take your last breath, your next breath will be in heaven. Just like that. Yesterday when I was outdoor knocking, I took my New Testament out, and I was talking to this dear lady, and I led her to Christ, and her son, her 12-year-old son, was standing right behind. His name was Joseph, and Joseph was standing right behind his mom and kind of listening in just a little bit, and then he would step off and come back, and she bowed her head. She trusted Christ as Savior, and we started talking a little bit, and I said, well, what about your sons? Would you want your sons to hear that? One's name was Christian, the other was Justin, and she said, oh yeah, they need to hear that. And so got them to come over, and they came over, and they stood there, and I went through the plan of salvation with them, and they got saved, and mom was so happy.
Amen.
That they got saved. You know why? Because they did not linger. They did not linger. You know, you have a neighbor. At least give them the opportunity to receive Christ so that they do not linger. You have somebody, and I'm probably known for passing out tracts, and I do that. If I eat someplace, I'm hitting people up with tracts as I'm leaving, and I'm giving out tracts everywhere I go. You know why? Because the Word of God changes people, and Jesus Christ, once He comes into that heart, into that life, can I tell you, that person, once they're saved, I'm going to see them again in heaven. I do believe that what's going to change America, and I'm so glad that we have some politicians, please pardon me, but I'm so glad that we got some politicians that's not afraid to tell that they're a Christian and how they became a Christian. I'm saying this. I'm saying that the lamb slain, the lost surrendering, the lingering soul. There's something else. There's that lasting sacrifice we talked about a few minutes ago, but then also that lonely Savior. Here he is on the cross, a book of Mark, chapter 15, verses 33 through 37. And he said this. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine the loneliness? Can you imagine that? Man, I tell you, now I love talking to people. I do. I love people. If you invite me to your house, I'm coming. My wife and I, we are going to be there. I mean, I love people. I love joking around with people. I love having fun with people. Brother Craig, I noticed that he was there in the hallway just yesterday, and I came in, and boy, I was hot. I've been out door knocking for a couple hours, and man, I'm hot thoroughly through and through. I mean, it was hot yesterday. You know, I think living in Texas will make you a good Christian. It was just hot yesterday. And boy, I came in and I said, well, I got to take a break. And so I came in to get a little bit of water. And, And Brother Craig and I were fellowshipping a little bit together, and I said, hey, look, I hadn't had any lunch, and I'm a salad guy and a Subway type of guy, and I said, let me go over and get a salad and bring it in. And I said, do you have lunch? He said, yes, I've got lunch. I said, let's eat together and fellowship. So we ate together yesterday, and we fellowshiped, and he said, preacher, who do you have as your afternoon partner? And I said, well, I don't really have anybody. He said, well, I'll go with you. And so we went out, and we made some follow-up visits together, stuff like that, and we just had a good time of fellowship, and I was not, are you listening to me? We were not lonely. See, the good thing about coming to a church like this is there are people in here, believe it or not, there's people in here just like you. You say, well, there's nobody in here like me. Oh, yes. How many of you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven because you received Jesus Christ as Savior? Raise your hand. Hey, there's people in here just like you. How many are glad you came to church today? Raise your hand. Well, there's people in here just like you. How many came to church today looking for something that God would give you from the Bible? Raise your hand. People in here just like you. You ready? Here's the last one. How many in here today are glad that you came to church? People in here just like you. See, there's something about coming together with God's children that you do not have to be lonely. But our Savior was lonely on the cross as he looked to the heaven, as he had that which was the sin of all humanity taken upon him own self. And he looked to heaven, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And sometimes you may feel like you have been forsaken, and you may feel like you're all alone, but can I testify, you're not. Even Jesus said this. He says, referring to himself, that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said that I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not one problem you face in your life, dear friend, that you have to face by yourself. Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So he is great. You know, the good thing about a saved person, when a lost person, a person has not been saved, they go to the dentist, they go by themselves. All the stress, all the, ooh, I don't like this, by themselves. When a person is saved and they go to the dentist, they're never by themselves. Come on. I'm saying this. Lonely Savior. Statement number one, there's a lamb slayed. Statement number two, lost surrendering. Statement number three, lasting sacrifice. Statement number four, lingering soul. Statement number five, lonely Savior. Statement number six, I got one more and I'm done, a loving Savior. This is what he says here. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. The Bible says over in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. All right, wait a minute. And so here's, you've got that which is a forgiving Father, a loving Father, a loving Savior. The Father, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Being crucified. Are you ready for this? Being crucified. You ready for this? Being crucified. He said, forgive them. In the middle of the crucifixion. Now, what do you do when somebody comes against you? And by the way, they're not even crucifying you. But can you say in the middle of when you're going through your most devastating time, can you say, forgive them? Because they don't have a clue. Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't realize how bad it really hurts. Can you say, forgive them? Can you actually follow the footsteps of Christ? Wait a minute. So he's a loving Savior. Last one. Here it is, and I'm done. He is the Lord that completely gives satisfaction. He is the Lord. Hanging there on the cross. There he is. Hanging there on the cross, but yet not one time calling a legion of angels to come down. Not one time. Not one time crying out to God and saying, God, take this cup from me. Not one time saying, God, please deliver me from this. Not one time, but all the time thinking of you, all the time thinking of me, I'm so glad. Oh, the Bible says here over in the book of, think about this if you will, the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, the Bible says that if it were possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. But listen to what it says in verse 12, but this man, Verse 12, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Now, it's not possible for the blood of goats or for the blood of any other type of beast to take away sins or any other type of man. But this man, one time, laid it down forevermore, saved. See, that's why I get so excited about giving out the gospel. That's why I'm so excited for our teenagers that get the privilege to be able to go out, and our college-age young people get the privilege to be able to go out, and us as young adults, we get the privilege to be able to go out and be able to share the gospel. You know why? I am so excited about that because it is the gospel that has the power to save.
Amen.
You know, we get to come to church tonight. Are you ready for this? And we'll have old-fashioned preaching. We'll have old-fashioned singing. I mean, it's going to be good, and it's all because of one Savior. All because of one Savior. Can I tell you, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. Oh, preacher, but I've had a bad day. Okay, so if you died and that was the worst thing that would happen to you today, worst thing, you died, worst thing, then according to the Bible, if you're saved, go to heaven. That's not too bad. That's not too bad. Dr. Rice was preaching one night, Dr. John O. Rice. Man came up to him, stuck a gun underneath his chin. Right there in the neck area, stuck a gun right there. Neck area, underneath the chin. He said, you know, I could kill you. Dr. Rice lowered his glasses, looked down at the man, said, you can't threaten me with heaven. The man got kind of discouraged because he didn't want to send somebody to heaven. Be a nicer place, so he lowered his gun and left. Come on. Mike Ray, we have him to come and preach. He's in Baton Rouge. He was just so upset, knocking doors. Everybody was mean, short-tempered, hot day, just like here in Texas, knocking doors, talking to people. And finally, he said, that's it. I'm frustrated. I'm mad. Next person that says they don't want anything, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. He's knocking doors. He's frustrated. Everybody's slamming doors, not wanting to talk to him, being very rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. He is knocking doors, and nobody wants to listen to him. And finally, this woman answers the door, and she said, I don't want nothing to... He stuck his foot in the door, and he said, you're going to listen to me. He said, you can be rude to me all you want. Gave her the gospel and said, fine. If you want to die and burn in hell, you go right ahead. Withdrew his foot, walked off. Lady standing there in shock. Finally, she picked up the piece of paper, called a gospel tract, found out what church it was from, called the church, said, I need to speak to a young man by the name of Mike Ray. I need to apologize. Tell him to come by the house. I need to apologize. He went by the house. She apologized. She bowed her heart, received Christ as Savior.
Amen.
You know why? Because somebody cared. Told the story. A preacher one day went to a restaurant. Restaurant was getting ready to close. He was out soul winning, knocking doors. He decided, man, I got to get some cold water. It's hot outside. I'm about to perish. Went to the restaurant, took a gospel tract. After went into the restroom, laid the gospel tract on the floor. Did not know the restaurant owner was frustrated, getting ready to kill himself. Had no clue. Restaurant owner went into the bathroom, had a double barrel shotgun, put the double barrel shotgun underneath his chin, got ready to reach down and pull the trigger. He saw a piece of paper there that said, if you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He thought, well, before I pull that trigger, maybe I better find out. Picked the gospel tract up, opened it up, saw about the love of God, how Jesus died for him, shed his blood for him, that by Jesus Christ you can have eternal life, laid the shotgun down, bowed his head, received Christ, found out what church it was from, went to the church the next day, said, I just want to tell you my story. He got baptized. Today he's still a Sunday school teacher in that church. Hey, can I tell you? Jesus Christ loves you so much. You don't have to keep living the life that you're presently living. You don't have to do that. Now, you know, I'm in a hurry sometimes. I'll pass out a gospel tract and I'll say, hey, you need to read this. It's changed your life forever. That's good stuff right there, man. You read it, it'll change you forever. Hey, read that, and I tell you, if you do what it says, I'll see you in heaven one day. Hey, this is so good. Read that. That is good stuff right there. And you say, what'd you give them? I gave them a 3x5 card because they can't read. No, I'm kidding. But you pass out a gospel tract, you never know. You just never know. I'm saying this. I'm saying that he is a satisfying Savior. I wouldn't want to live life without him. You shouldn't want any of your kids to live life without him. Best thing you'd ever do as a parent, get your kid in church every service. Why? God uses the Word of God to tenderize the heart. One day they come to an understanding of Jesus Christ. Got trouble with my marriage, preacher. What do I do? Get in church. Let God work on your life. Now I got people that curse at me down at the workplace. What do I do? Give them all gospel tracts. Say, man, God sure does love you. Praying for you. If I can ever help, I'm here for you. Just let it be natural, helping people come to know Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.